Okay. Welcome to everybody on a cold Philly day. Can't tell you how excited I am to welcome back Doug Peterson to the Eagles family. This was a very, very detailed and exhaustive search process, some of which we could share publicly, but most of it is a very private and intense few weeks that goes on in the NFL, I'm sure with most teams, and ours was no exception. I first want to reach out and thank everybody who was involved in the search process, especially Don and Howie and Tom Donahoe and all of our special advisors that we had. This was really a terrific, terrific process, the best I've been a part of. And it's also a long one in the sense of a lot happens in a couple weeks, but in most businesses it would take place over many months. So in the NFL it gets very condensed. In this process, we started with about 25 candidates that we completely researched, analyzed, vetted, however you want to describe it. And that research started during the season, at some point late in the season, and it gave us some time to, if we needed to go this direction, be fully prepared for the search process. And the good news in the NFL is there's a lot of real good candidates. When we went from looking at 25 viable candidates, we then reduced it to about 10 candidates that we were very, very interested in, some of whom were existing head coaches on other teams waiting to see if they would be available, and creating our own top tier of candidates in addition to internal candidates. So that list ended up being about 10, 11 candidates that we were totally focused on. I have to say that the candidates we ended up interviewing were all impressive. It is a really good fortune for people to develop such young talent and multi-type of talent in the NFL, whether it's young coordinators, impressive internal candidates, very experienced head coaches in the National Football League. Very, very impressive people, smart, and really able to be very successful, I think, in the NFL. We then basically, from all the interviews, continued to analyze research, and with all of us and our advisors, unanimously came to the conclusion that the best man for the job and the best leader in this process was Doug Peterson. The main features with Doug that really impressed all of us and especially myself were, first, real smart strategic thinker. Things we noticed early on in his career but really blossomed over the last decade of coaching. He'd been, as a player and a coach, worked under coaches that really knew how to do it right, whether it's Don Shula, Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid. These were well-organized coaches that absolutely were at the forefront and are at the forefront of their profession. As a player, how he worked with our quarterbacks that he was playing with and as coaching them as well, terrific, just terrific. Communication skills, unparalleled. A key ingredient for me, and it's I think when you go to this, it kind of defines differences between candidates, and that is who is the most comfortable in their own skin. And when I say that, what I mean is an ability to be genuine at all times. And I got to spend a lot of time with our players at the beginning of this coaching search, and the message loud and clear, which I agree with in terms of leadership in today's world no matter what, is you've got to be comfortable in your own skin in order to be able to reach out, be genuine with those you want to get high performance from, be accountable to them, and make them accountable to you. And when you get down to it, that's something that we were not going to go away from. That was a very key variable, and Doug has that, and unquestionably. You know, I think that what Doug brings also is an understanding of the passion of our fans in Philadelphia. This wasn't a requirement for the job, but he understands how dedicated, obsessed we all are to bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. He's talked about it for years and years and years. He continues to talk about it and understands a lot of the issues of what we all want to bring to the best city in terms of football fans imaginable. So that's another piece of it. And, you know, we can go into many more variables, but I'm going to tell you that at the end of the search, this was an easy call. And with that, I'd like to welcome back Doug Peterson and introduce him as the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug.
I'm standing here before you just a humbled human being. There's a lot of people I want to thank. And the first people is obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt and the Hunt family for giving me the opportunity to be the offensive coordinator there for 3 years. Mark Donovan, the team president, and Coach Andy Reid, one of my mentors in my life. And then turned this chapter of my life back to Philadelphia. Started my career here in 1999 as a starting quarterback. Came back as a position coach with Coach Reid. And now back as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So with that, I want to thank Tina and Jeffrey Lurie for this opportunity. Howie Roseman, Don Smolinski, the search team, the committee, the efforts that were put forth in finding their next head coach. And last but not least, I want to thank my wife, who's here today, Jeannie. She's been my rock, my support, my inspiration for anything and everything that we've done together as a couple. Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, what intrigued me about coming back to Philadelphia? One is an opportunity to lead young men, an opportunity to be surrounded by quality individuals, top-notch individuals, a tremendous owner, an owner that gives you the fullest of support, the players that are in this room. My challenge is to them is that we're going to work every day. We're going to work hard every day. We're going to come to work every day. As coaches, it's our job to make you better. To make you better as individuals, to make you better as men, and to make you better as Philadelphia Eagles. And that's my job. It starts with me. I understand the culture and the passion of Philadelphia. I get it. I experienced that as a quarterback in 1999. I experienced that firsthand. And now coming back, I understand what it feels like to win in this city. This city hasn't won, and this organization hasn't won in quite some time. It's my job to turn that around. And you do it one day at a time. You do it one player at a time. You do it one coach at a time. So as I continue to go through the evaluation process, you know, nothing's settled. Nothing's settled. You evaluate the team. You evaluate the coaches. You want to put the best people in place, not only for the Philadelphia Eagles, but people that are Doug Peterson people. People that I can trust. Coaches that I can trust. Coaches that I can trust they're doing the best things for their players, whether it be in the training room, the strength and conditioning department, the personnel department, and obviously the coaching department. And so I'm proud to announce right now, Jim Schwartz will be our defensive coordinator for the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm excited to have him, his track record, his defenses that have led the National Football League. I've had a chance to coach against him, and I'm glad he's on our team now. And so I'm honored to have him to be a part of my staff. So with that, we're ready to answer questions.
Okay, there we go. Hi, Doug. You mentioned, Jim, do you have an offensive coordinator set yet? And what are your plans at the quarterback and Bradford looking at free agency soon?
To answer that, still going through the evaluation process there. I haven't decided yet on an offensive coordinator. Interviewing a few people. and going to just evaluate the that position. I know it's an important position. From where I come from the last 3 years, tied directly in with the quarterback position. And looking at the quarterback position here, I think Sam's a quality quarterback. I think he's a top-notch quarterback. Look what he did the last half of the season. The numbers that he was able to put up. I feel like he's an individual. He's a quarterback that would fit perfectly into a system that I'm going to bring. And so, you know, as we evaluate, as I evaluate that position, those decisions will be made as we go.
Doug, 7 years in the NFL as a coach after coaching high school, two as a quality control guy, two as a position coach, and then three as a coordinator. It's a lot less experience than most NFL head coaches have coaching. How much of a hindrance, if any, is that? And how do you kind of overcome that and make up for the lack of actual coaching experience?
Well, I think being a head football coach in the National Football League, you have to be a great listener. You have to listen to your players. You have to listen to your coaches. You have to listen to the fans. I think that makes you a better person. I think the people that I've been surrounded with in my career, the Don Shulas, the Mike Holmgrens, the Andy Reids, being a part of championship organizations, the Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and being a part of the Philadelphia Eagles, and understanding what that takes and that dynamic to win in the National Football League has prepared me for this opportunity.
Doug, like you said, you're familiar with this city, and you're also familiar with Andy. And the perception here is that because of your connection to Andy, people are wondering if are they getting Andy back. And is that a good or bad thing? And do you feel you need to separate yourself from that? And if so, how will you do that?
Listen, I Andy Reid is a mentor. I'll be the first one to tell you that he is. But I'm also here to tell you that this is not an Andy Reid football team and it's not a Doug Peterson football team. This is a Philadelphia Eagle football team. And so I'm going to bring my spin on it. I'm going to bring my personality to it. And we're going to make it our team going forward.
Doug, will you call plays on offense?
I will.
How much responsibility did you have for that final Chiefs drive in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I'll even go back a little bit further. I was able to call plays really since the Pittsburgh game, if you follow the Kansas City Chiefs, from the Pittsburgh game on. Coach Reid and I had a great understanding, a great feel for the game. He allowed me to call the second half of every football game from that Steeler game on. The second half of our playoff game the other night, I had the second half. I did have the second half. And so I called the entire second half at that point.
Why did that drive take so long?
It took us time because, number one, did not want to give Tom Brady the ball back. We knew we were going to score. We knew we had timeouts in time. We were also limited with the number of receivers. We had Jeremy Maclin was out of the game at the time. We were down numbers. We just didn't want to feel. We felt like at that point, not to give the ball back to Tom Brady. We still had timeouts and time, even with the onside kick, to put ourselves in a position to tie the football game.
Doug, what did you learn from Andy Reid as far as organizing, leading a locker room of men, and holding players accountable as a head coach?
I think that last one is the most important part, holding the players accountable. It starts with me. I got to hold myself accountable, and then I got to hold my assistant coaches accountable. The message has to be one message. The one thing that I think Coach Reid, over the years being with him, his consistency and his message of family first, of trusting one another, you can't sacrifice hard work. And we cranked through training camps. Our training camps were tough. Our practices were tough. But he never wavered from that. And I think that consistency has made him a successful football coach in the National Football League. And those are the things that I want to bring here, the things that I learned from him that I can use here in my journey.
Doug, over here. Can you describe what the search was like for you? I mean, when the Eagles first made contact with you and met with you, I guess it was that Sunday until like the Thursday when they hired you, because it seemed like, you know, they were also looking at some other guys, and just kind of what your thoughts were during that whole like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it was, first of all, it was a tremendous honor to be even mentioned, and then obviously having an interview. It has been a dream, you know, a goal of mine. And I think you get into this league, one, being the best coach you can be, whatever that role is. But as you are on teams that are successful, you begin to kind of climb the ladder, so to speak. And so to be mentioned with the guys that were mentioned here and were interviewed here, I felt honored and privileged. It was a little tough because we were still in the postseason. So trying to separate preparing for an interview, getting ready for a football game, you know, and keeping those two things separate, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was tough. But it was something because we were getting ready to play Houston, and, you know, everything was obviously very successful, you know, down there in Houston at that time. But the preparation part, I think, was easy, because it was about being yourself when you go into those things and show them who you actually and really are.
To kind of piggyback off that last question, it seems like the organization had some other guys that they were more interested in. Does it bother you that you weren't the first choice?
Because I'm here today, no.
Is that the way you viewed it? That
I just felt like that they were going to select the best man for the job, and they feel that they have confidence in me. And I'm gonna show that same confidence and that same respect back. And I don't want to disappoint.
Doug, straight ahead of you, about 4 or 5 rows back. Yeah, you mentioned Sam Bradford. Do you have any? Have you had any contact with him? Do you know him at all? You know, gotten a chance to?
Yeah, no. You know what? I don't know him personally. I think he's a tremendous player. I liked him coming out of college when we evaluated him before. But, again, he's someone I do want to reach out to and talk and have conversations with.
Okay. Based on that, then, what in your mind makes him, you know, an ideal quarterback? I assume you're going to run the West Coast offense for your version of what you want to do offensively. What makes him perfect
for
that?
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of a, you know, you say West Coast. I think that has kind of gone by the wayside just a touch. I'll tell you this, the core values of the offense, the core principles, some of the core plays are West Coast-ish. But we've developed a hybrid-type system. We utilize our players and quarterback strengths with the offensive system, use our players' strengths. And I think Sam is he's got all the tools. There's no question. There's no denying that. He's got good size, got a great arm, good mind for the game. And it's just a matter of now just plugging him in and cutting him loose and utilizing those strengths in this system.
Coach, right in front of the cameras, when you talked with your family about moving back here, you know, the kids, and were you excited to come back to a place you know, and how is it nice knowing the area, favorite dinner spots, things like that?
Yeah, that was – our kids were thrilled, honestly. You know, our oldest son actually graduated from Morristown High School, spent 4 years here. Our second son, Josh, is going to graduate this spring, you know, there in Kansas City, Overland Park area. And then our youngest, who will be a freshman, is actually probably the most fired up because all of his buddies are texting him and tell him, come on back. We got travel baseball spots for you. We got basketball spots. We've got, you know, your high school spot ready to go. So it does make that transition much easier, knowing that you're coming back to a place that's very familiar to you.
For Doug or for Jeffrey, who has control of the 90-man roster and who has control of the 53-man roster?
Well, I know this. It's a collaborative effort. You know, it's not going to – it's Howie, myself. I mean, Tom Donahoe, there's a bunch of people. But that's the nucleus of the group, and we'll make the best decisions for the football team.
Who breaks the tie?
Doug, during your interview, what is it when you walked away, and you didn't know you had the job, obviously, what is it that you think sold the Eagles on you? What does it take to jump from a coordinator to a head coach? And for Jeffrey, what was it for you, and how much input did Ron Jaworski have in the process?
I think from walking away from that interview, the familiarity with the guys in the room, and Aileen was there, ladies in the room, and just I think the genuine feel of walking away going, this feels really right. This feels right. I think, too, you also look at, you can look at the X's and O's, and you can look at what we did offensively. You can look at a 1-5 record and turning it around and making the postseason with a chance to win your division at the end and say, you know what, something there was special. And he was a part of that team at that point. And I think just to the – just knowing each other, you know, and having that common bond and understanding this right here, understanding this community, this city, the passion that these fans have, I think is a big part of why I'm standing here today.
And the jump from coordinator to head coach.
And it's that normal progression, I think. And, it doesn't hurt to have an Andy Reid endorsement, you know. His track record and being under his tutelage for 7 years, I think doesn't hurt also.
Jeffrey, what sold you? What sold you, and how much since Jaworski has been made public in this process, how much involvement did he have?
Well, I already kind of went through what sold me on Doug. It was numerous things. Check the box on everything we looked at from football intelligence, overall intelligence, strategic thinking, communication skills, collaboration skills, genuineness, comfortable in your own skin. I mean, leadership abilities. Those were the obvious ones. So that was it was pretty easy. I want to sort of correct a misinterpretation. I guess some questions get asked based on belief in your own media reports. At no point was anybody about to be offered a job besides Doug Peterson. So that was that's where that is. And the last question, Howard, was Ron. Ron was just one piece of the entire pool, a very valuable one. When he can really contribute on leadership, on X's and O's, on football IQ, and things like that. But the beauty of this search was the ability, and I guess it's because of being in the league for 20 plus years. I have great relationships with head coaches around the league, several of which have worked here, and I made it very, very clear to them and they to me that we would talk every few days during this search. And Jaws was one very valuable source, but I have to tell you, I would never want to go through a head coaching search without having had all the conversations I had with terrific, successful head coaches in the NFL working today. They have the best insight on what leadership is all about in today's NFL. There's no competition for that knowledge. There's no way to get that unless you're a head coach of an NFL team, know what it really takes to succeed in this very difficult league. And I can't thank everybody who really invested time, some of them in the playoffs and some not. Terrific head coaches going over every candidate with me, their strengths and weaknesses if they knew them. And it gave me a tremendous amount of confidence in the whole process. I wish I, was able to do that when I was first-time owner. It's a great situation to be able to have sort of the unspoken resources. They were awesome.
Doug, back here. Well, what was the best piece of advice you got about becoming a head coach, and who did it come from?
Be yourself. Everybody I talk to.
No one in particular?
Coach Reed. Mr. Lurie, Jim Schwartz, former head coaches, just be yourself.
Doug, there have been reports of some assistants already in place being held over from the previous regime. Can you confirm, you know, will Fipp be back as your special teams coordinator, Statlin, the offensive line coach, Deuce as your running backs coach? Ken Flagel's been hired. What is his role?
Still, I'll tell you this, we're still in an evaluation process. I would tell you that Dave Fipp will be retained. I like his style. He's one of the top special teams units in the National Football League the last few years. I like his style. Jeff Stoutland as offensive line. I like his demeanor, what he brings to that room. I think there's continuity there. There's a toughness there. And there's a style that I like with him. And then going forward from there, I'm still in the evaluation process, and that's where we're at.
Those two?
For right now.
That he turned down the UTEP job as a defensive coordinator.
I've been in talks with him and talking with him, and there's a potential of hiring him as well. But again, it's all part of the evaluation process. I can't give you anything more than that.
Thank you. To piggyback off of that, especially since you just played 3 days ago, how much were you involved in the selection of your staff?
I had full cooperation there. I was given the opportunity to search and put together the best staff, not only for the Philadelphia Eagles, but for me and the guys that fit with my personality and what I believe in. So I was given the support of that.
It's for Jeffrey. Right here. Doug said it doesn't hurt to have an Andy Reid endorsement. What did Andy tell you about Doug, and how much of an influence was that on your decision?
You know, it was one of many influences on the decision, but the detail of Andy's analysis of Doug over the years, and especially in the last few weeks, was important because it was so thorough. The experiences of Doug as a coach and how he deals with players was detailed. It was extremely valuable in terms of understanding the core of Doug Peterson. It's something you can't get from an interview, but somebody who has literally had probably 800 interviews with Doug every day on the field and classrooms and all that, it's important. However, I want to just say that equally as important to me were those that didn't know Doug as well, because they had a chance to really analyze him more from afar and did their own research. And I can't tell you the positivity of the other head coaches that we talked to and general managers and people like that, that it was unanimous in terms of who are the best of the up-and-coming coaches to be head coach in the NFL. And I, you know, went into it just wanting to hear. That was all. I was a good listener.
This question is for Doug. You mentioned Sam Bradford fits what you want to do on offense. How does a DeMarco Murray fit into your game plan on offense, and what players on the offensive side of the ball are you most looking forward to working with?
Yeah, I'm looking really all of them. You know, got some guys over there that I'm very familiar with. You know, Brent Celek being one of them. You know, Jason Peters being one of them, Kelsey being one of them. You know, guys that I've had a chance to work with in the past. And then with the addition of some of the younger guys, I think a DeMarco Murray fits well into what I can bring. I think there's a unique style there with him. When you go back and look at his tape in Dallas, I think there's some great opportunities with him. You know, more of a downhill type guy, physical running back. So, and then with Sam, I think Sam, you know, brings a whole skill set that benefits him. You know, it is a pass friendly system, but yet it's not so much of a vertical system than what people think. Today's game has changed offensively. You're seeing more spread style offenses in the National Football League. You're seeing more of the run pass options that the quarterbacks have at the line of scrimmage. You're giving them quarterbacks today have the ability to think with their brain, and I want to tap into that too, and put the offense into a great a better play in any situation. So just tapping into those guys makes it more advantageous for you offensively.
Doug, when you look at the roster you're inheriting, is this a team that you believe can be back in serious playoff contention next season?
I do. And there's some pieces that we got to, you know, work on and try to get back. And free agency, as you know, you're going to lose some and you're going to gain some. But I think the nucleus of this football team is very good. It's structured very well. There's some talent here. And I do believe that you can put yourself in a position to not only win the East, but have a chance to get yourself into the postseason and then go deep into the postseason.
One for Jeffrey over here, Mr. Lurie. You talked a little bit about the front office structure when we talked to you a couple weeks ago. Can you just explain why you prefer a collaborative approach over just having a general manager who has just one voice, who has final say? And second part of that question, obviously the situation with Howie when you removed the personnel element from his job for a year when Chip took control. Can you talk about what gives you the confidence to restore that from what he's done?
Well, I'll preface the questions by saying we're about to do a search for a player personnel head. And that will really be an important search that we're all participating in starting this week. And given that search and given the competitive nature of that search, what I'd like to do is really talk to you more about structure and the exact nature of those once the search is over, because I don't want to sort of telegraph anything we're doing.
This is for Jeffrey. You've been here 2 decades. You know this fan base. You know this city, and you had to go in knowing what when Doug came here, what maybe some of the initial reaction would be. What gave you the confidence that he can thrive in the cauldron you're putting him in?
Oh, I think that we got the best fan base in the United States, bar none. Best football fans in America, without any question. We weren't playing all that well going into the Arizona game or the Washington game for the division, and the electricity in the stadium, the fans' faith that we could possibly win the NFC East and head into the playoffs from that was incredible. The fans just want to win, and in picking a new head coach, it's not about winning the press conference. It's just about picking the best leader, and it was very clear to us that was the way to go.
Doug, back here aside, while Andy has obviously had some very strong success in the league, the concept of clock management has been an issue for many years, and certainly we saw it here in Philadelphia. Totally aside from just what happened this past weekend, what is it about his approach offensively? I don't know if it's about verbiage and how long it takes to get plays in, communicating it. What is it about the approach he has had that has led to pretty consistent issues with clock management, and what can you as the head coach do to avoid that happening in the future? You mentioned about giving the quarterback an opportunity to survey the field and make adjustments. What can you do to put the quarterback in a position to avoid the issues that have existed?
The best way is to practice those situations every week, which we've done, which we do. Teams in the National Football League work on those scenarios and those situations all the time. And again, it goes back to the decision of, particularly in that game, if you don't want to give a great quarterback an opportunity to win the football game. Keep the time, keep the timeouts. One thing we did in Kansas City is we actually streamlined our offense. We cut out a bunch of terminology. We gave the quarterback the flexibility, the keys to the car, so to speak. And we as coaches put our players in the best situations possible on game day to allow them to play fast, to allow them to play free, to use their talents. And those situations are worked in OTAs. They're worked in training camp. Their work during the regular season. And it's my responsibility as a head football coach to make sure that those situations are covered and that you make good of the time that you have.
This question is for Jeff. Jeff, will the new player personnel head report to Howie Roseman?
All questions of structure and will be determined after the search is complete.
So you haven't made a decision on that yet?
Can't reveal any decision on that because it would impact our ability to find the right people that we've designated in the search.
Okay. In December, you had said that you gave Chip Kelly full control of personnel because you wanted to hold him accountable. How will you hold Howie Roseman accountable?
No matter what structure and ability to have a great personnel head and player personnel department, accountability will be the number one feature. And that goes for everybody. Goes for Howie, goes for the player personnel head, goes for the head coach. My number one priority going into this offseason is accountability.
So
we'll
measure
completely accountable
by
myself,
by the personnel decisions that are made in the offseason, or by
everything, managing everything. In terms of all of his responsibilities as they are revealed after the search. He'll be responsible.
Will he have final say on the draft? And
you're going into questions that we will answer after the search
is
complete.
I just think the fans really want to know exactly who's making decisions for the team.
They will,
when the draft, when you guys are on the clock in the draft, and when you guys are making decisions.
Right,
at free
it doesn't
agency.
Quite ever work out that way, but it's very collaborative. But trust me, as soon as we finish the search, accountability will be 100% acknowledged.
Thank you.
For Doug, this is a two-part question over here. One, what one or couple things as a player, as a quarterback, most prepared you to lead men as a head coach in this league? And two, do you think the league is a different league than when you played quarterback? And if so, how so?
I think being a former quarterback, kind of the leader of your football team, you're in front of the media quite often as a quarterback. You're out in front. You're the voice of the team. You're the voice of, you know, a lot of great men in that locker room. So I think that has given me the opportunity, has given me a basis to stand here, you know, today. And the second part? I think the speed of the game. I think the speed of the game. I think the players that we're getting from college now are coming to us with, especially on offense, they're coming to us from systems that are very fast. Tempo is very fast. I think there's a place for tempo. We love tempo. We used it in Kansas City, where I just came from, and it's a good changeup. And I think that's the biggest thing that you're seeing today in the spread style of offenses, particularly in your short yardage situations, even some of your goal line situations where you're not just packing the box with 11 big bodies. You know, you're spreading the field and giving your quarterback and your offense a favorable chance to make those downs.
Doug, straight back. You mentioned Jim Schwartz as your defensive coordinator. Can you confirm whether you'll run a 4-3 and what type of defense you think your personnel fits?
You know, I think the best way to answer that is I don't think you can come in and say we're going to be this. I think what you do is you come in and you evaluate your personnel and you use your personnel that best fits them. And then you structure your offense and defense based on that.
Straight ahead here, Doug. What are your thoughts on training camp? I know the team hasn't gone away for the last 3 years, and Andy usually does. Do you plan to go away?
Those are things that we'll discuss that this offseason. I did briefly kind of, and in the interview process, we kind of talked about that. It's a great setup here. I don't know all the ins and outs yet on that. That's something that we'll talk about as this offseason unfolds. But I kind of like the idea of doing it right here in our backyard and keeping it local where the people can come and it makes it more accessible to them.
This question is actually for Jeffrey. It seemed like throughout this search, Andy Reid was kind of like a big theme throughout it, whether it was the guys you were looking at or, you know, things the players said and what they kind of wanted as a head coach. Can you kind of explain at least, you know, if that perception is real and why do you think that was or that is?
You know, I think Andy's respected by a lot of people, but I have to go back to the fact that in terms of our search, he was one helpful voice, and that's it. It was a lot of conversations with a lot of people that I personally have great respect for their track record in the National Football League. Hours and hours of conversations with head coaches that all of you know and I think respect. It was very multi-directional, and you know, Andy was one valuable voice amongst many.
Yeah, Jeffrey, another question for you. You had said last March that the only thing that correlates to success in this league is having a franchise quarterback. You've got a major financial decision to make on Sam Bradford. Do you think what you saw this year that he is a franchise quarterback?
You know, I think really this is the time to leave that to the evaluation process. We have a new head coach who understands the quarterback position a lot more than I do. And I think all the input of someone who really is now in charge of our football team as head coach will have a very large influence over that. A lot of good things that Sam did and seemed to get better during the course of the season. But that's It is the key. Structure is – accountability is crucial, and franchise quarterback is very, very important.
For Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you spoke last month about an exhaustive search, and again used the word exhaustive today. But from a public perception standpoint, there were only six candidates interviewed, four outside of the building. Could you just go a little bit deeper in terms of some of the conversations and maybe the amount of the extensiveness of the search that led you to Doug outside of maybe what the public had been made aware of?
Yeah, you know, in these searches, there's always a disconnect. It's frustrating as the owner between the public and the search process because you just can't reveal what is really going on because otherwise you're not able to conduct the search process in a very neutral and in a competitive environment. You want to be completely doing it the way you feel it should be done. I can only describe to you the vetting of 25 candidates to begin with. We're talking probably about 2,000 pages of information, files, dramatically large files on every single candidate, almost like you're involved in a first-round draft pick, only much more because you have much more information. And when I tell you the files on each potential candidate of the 25, these are large, large blocks of information to digest in terms of every aspect of leadership, how they deal with players, how they've handled different crises in their career, in their personal life, whatever you can come up with is hopefully in that file. So you go through 25 candidates over and over, talking to, as I said, multiple people in the profession that know these people a lot better than we do, and that's how you get from 25 to 10. 10 was the number where we thought there were 10 really qualified candidates, of which three or four became unavailable because of they were able to keep the jobs they were in or they decided not to leave college. And that was, you know, that accounted for getting it from 10 to 6. And what we didn't want to do is, because three or four were not fired from their present jobs, go back to the tier two list. It didn't make any sense. We had already decided these were the 10. One of these 10 was going to be the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's the process. It's always – I've only done it a few times, but it's always frustrating to me that you spend so much time in the research and discussion with so many people, but you can't reveal that during the process. You just can't explain it. It's not fair to those that are helping you, and it's not fair to those you're competing with. So I apologize for the misconnection there, but it's the nature of the search in the NFL. You know, when you're a CEO of a normal business, you take 6 months to figure out who the next CEO is going to be, and you can talk to many people. You can tell people who you talk to. You can talk within other companies. The whole thing is a very, very different and more public operation. And with this, you've got to be both sort of clandestine, yet you owe it to the public to try to let them know who you're meeting with. So the numbers you meet with have nothing to do with the process.
Jeff, if I could just clarify one thing. A minute ago,
sure.
You said you started the process late in the season, quote, in case we had to go in this direction. Do I understand that correctly to say the process of whittling down candidates or identifying candidates began before you fired Chip?
No, the research started. The research, I've always been one to feel you have to have research started long before you ever make a final decision, because that research is the key. You've got to do the legwork, or you're going to be making it off of names. You've got to have you know, so much detail of information, conversations planned. Who are you going to talk to about candidate number 14? You know, who are the connections that really know how that coach was when he was a coach or an assistant coach or whatever it was? Who are the players that played for him? Who are the general managers that he worked with? Maybe potentially owners. So you've got to have it all planned out. We were ready to roll by the time a final decision was made on Chip. And that gave us both an advantage in terms of research, and also, as I said before, the week I was able to spend meeting with the players was invaluable, because in the end, you gotta try to relate and get the players to play at peak performance. And what does team mean? What does team mean to the players? And what coaches would be able to both relate, get across in a strong and direct communicative way what that is all about and what they're all about, and what do the players need in terms of genuineness, accountability, and the like. And that week was, I'm just really happy we were able to do that because it made us able to much better embark on the search.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Also, Jim Schwartz is out there.